You're listening to Virginia Trioli on ABC Radio Melbourne.
I'm sure you lost count of the number of occasions on which I had moment and cause to say that the arts community here in Melbourne, Victoria, and really around the country were the first out, the first locked out when the pandemic hit, and we're going to be the last back in. And the effect that's had on our culture, on people's livelihoods, on the creation of new work has been profound and is probably going to cast a shadow over creativity here in this country for quite some time. So a new campaign group has started up called Fund the Arts. They're planning to run what they describe as a comprehensive media and marginal seat campaign, they say, in the lead up to next year's federal election. It's got support from inside the world of arts, including people like Kathy Lett and Tony Wilson, musicians Darren Middleton of Powderfinger, Dave Williams of Augie March, Rhys Muldoon, the actor, and many others besides. So what are they organising to do and what are they hoping to achieve? Joanna Murray-Smith, the celebrated Australian playwriter and screenwriter and author, is one of the group and she joins you now. Jo, good to talk to you again. Good morning.
Nice to talk to you, Virginia. Happy to be here.
A marginal seat campaign. Tell me how that will work.
Well, I think that, what I can speak to, less about the politics, but more about the passion that is leading to that ambition, is a general feeling that COVID has exacerbated an already very profound feeling that the arts are low stakes in the political landscape, and more so in Australia than in almost any other Western country, I would think. And it's time for a change. So, you know, if we can get some political force behind us, it's a non-partisan campaign. So we're not really looking at, past ideological positions. We're looking at the future and looking at what can happen if we get people in our political landscape who really understand that the arts are central to the identity of our country, and that they're very, very important to the people who live here.
You're seeking $2.5 billion in funding to boost Australian arts content. Of course, that would have to come from whoever might be sitting in the seat of power in the federal government of the day. Have you had any either formal or informal conversations as a group or as individuals with the arts minister, with the federal government, and to see what the likelihood of that might be?
I have not been involved in those things. It's possible that some of the other people sort of behind the scenes, because not everybody who's supporting this campaign is sort of out there flying the flag. Some of them are doing behind the scenes work. But, I mean, there's an enormous amount to be done. I mean, for instance, if you look at Paul Fletcher, who's the current, you know, Federal Minister for the Arts website, you'll see that he's the Minister for Communications, Urban Infrastructure, Cities and the Arts. And what we really need in this country is a Minister for the Arts. That is, that it is its own ministry, that it is flying the flag for the, you know, many, many thousands of artists who the arts industry employs 193,000 people and contributes $14.9 billion to the GDP each year. So, this is a huge business, but more than a business, it's about the values that we that we affirm in our country about what is important. And if we don't put some emphasis on the arts and on the value of artists, which we very, very rarely feel from the political leaders, then the arts are going to fail. So, I mean, you know, historically, I think we've seen more arts benefit in politics where the arts minister has had a senior position. For instance, when Jeff Kennett was both premier and arts minister, the arts was higher on the agenda, rather than feeling as if it's a marginal sort of add-on to the ministry. You know, the arts should be absolutely central, and we should be talking about the arts and talking about the value of artists the same way that we talk about the value of, you know, our medicos, yeah, or the value of our research and development people.
Joanna Murray-Smith, if Paul Fletcher was here, and I've spoken to him on a number of occasions over the last few months as he's announced more money and federal funding for various arts companies to try and get them through the pandemic, I'm sure he'd argue that, you know, a great whack of money has been spent on that. if JobKeeper had been extended and allowed to include those casual workers, because, you know, so many workers in the arts industry are on short-term contracts that didn't run the length of time that made them able to qualify for JobKeeper, would that have made a big difference, do you think?
I think it would make a big difference. I mean, part of this story is the story of people who are struggling to survive doing what they do, and a lot of them are the top of their game. I mean, when I travel overseas for my work, people are constantly talking to me about Australian artists. You know, every time I travel overseas and deal with theatre people, they're talking to me about Andrew Bevel. Everyone's talking about Australian film directors, particularly young women directors. Mm. You know, so, I mean, our arts community is really second to none. We punch well above our weight. And anybody who travels can feel that and gets evidence of that all the time. So it is about literally supporting our artists so that they can feed their children. And this is, you know, I mean, this is something that I'm struggling with myself at the moment, you know, and I'm, you know, supposedly a very successful artist, but, you know, I've had no income for most of the year and last year too. And I know many actors who've just sold up, gone to Broken Hill because they can buy a house for 30 grand, but they're giving up their art. There are others who are giving up because they're so low morale. So it's partly about literally supporting them, but it's also about changing the culture and saying, look, our children are growing up to be the future artists. We need to put money into arts education because I knew I was going to be a writer when I was 8, and most of the artists I know knew very, very early that they were artists, and that's where we need to put a hell of a lot of funding and support to get these kids feeling emboldened and engaged by their own talent. And we also need, of course, to keep artists working, not just supported by grants, but working because quotas are improved, so that actually the demand for our writers or the demand for our actors or whoever is much higher because it is legally required that they are employed.
Well, Joanna, it's interesting to see the aims and the elements of the campaign as I read them here. And I guess it gives me a framework that during the election campaign, when candidates come on, they can be asked questions from that perspective about what their focus is, where their emphasis is, whether their emphasis is on that, is on material support for the arts, and whether policies are going to be drawn accordingly. So people can listen to the answers to those questions and they can make up their minds about whether they vote for them or not. But it's been great talking to you about this. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Virginia. I know you're a big champion.
Thank you. Joanna Murray-Smith, Australian playwright, screenwriter, author and columnist. So, yeah, it's an interesting campaign, and given that it does have a particular target there on marginal seats, how that plays out will be interesting, but it will mean then on a repeated basis there will be particular questions from that perspective to be put to candidates, and you can hear what the answers might be.